be looking at spiritual warfare, and many Christians don't even realize they're in a war, but we are, every one of us, and we're going to be in that war until the day we go home. It's never going to stop on this earth. So in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, and we're going to read this a couple times tonight, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Now, who wrote the book of Romans? The Apostle Paul. He's talking about himself when he writes this, and I want you to think, he's probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, maybe next to the Lord himself, one of the greatest. And he says this about himself: I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Does that remind you of anybody else? I'm in that boat sometimes, and I don't understand it. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. My prayer tonight is that you'll be informed about what's going on inside of you and inside of me too, so that you can stand strong for the Lord. We need to be reminded that we're in a spiritual war. So I want to dwell on the topic every Christian faces on a continual basis, that from time to time, every single one of us do things and we don't know why we do it. And the answer is, it's because of the sinful nature that's in each and every one of us. John MacArthur says, the Spirit-led life is a life of conflict because it is a constant combat with the old ways of the flesh that continue to tempt and seduce the believer. And Grant Richardson said, a spiritual titanic tug-of-war takes place in every believer. The non-Christian does not have that same kind of struggle, for he is nothing but flesh. He has no other reference point. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they come into the kingdom of God thinking, my struggle is over. But the struggle has just begun, and it's going to go on for the rest of the days of our life. Just like there's a Holy Trinity, there's also a Trinity that's unholy. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. In Ephesians 2:1, all three of these are included in these three verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. There it is, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Many Christians believe their greatest enemy is the devil. You've heard Flip Wilson say it a million times, the devil made me do it. Well, friends, the devil can't make you do anything as a Christian that you don't want to do, but your flesh can. If you're dwelling in the flesh, it'll make you do all kinds of things. In the Bible, it says of Satan in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We can resist the devil as long as we're not walking in the flesh. But if we're walking in the flesh, guess what? We don't even want to resist the devil. We think his idea is just great because it comes along with what we want. Satan is a formidable enemy. Please don't get me wrong. The world is strong too, trying to draw you away. But your greatest enemy is yourself, your own natural flesh. Pogo had it right, and I got a little thing to put on the overhead of what he said. We met the enemy, and he is us. Our greatest enemy dwells within us, and it is our own fleshly desires. The Apostle Paul tells us about his own struggle. Folks, you war against yourself, because as Christians, you have the Spirit of Christ within you, and Christ always wants to do the Father's will. But you also have the spirit of the flesh that wants to do its own will, and that's always going to be a struggle. The Apostle Paul, talking about his own struggle, I want to read again, Romans 7:14 through 25, because many of us don't realize every single Christian goes through this. It isn't just you. It's all of us. If the Apostle Paul struggled with this, you and I are going to struggle with this. There's just no way to get away from it. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. It's extremely important you understand this, because if you don't, you may think you're the only one. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. It's an honest confession, and we all ought to do it. Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Give you an illustration of that. A man was sitting at a stoplight in his car one morning, and the lady in front of him, the light was red, so they both were stopped, and the lady in front of him was texting on her phone. Well, she texted all the way through the green light, back into the red light. And the fella in the car behind her went into a rage. He started pounding on his thing, he was shouting swear words and just carried away, but right behind him was a policeman. And the policeman arrested him. He went up with his gun drawn and arrested the man. And the man said, "You can't arrest me for shouting and cursing in my own car." And the policeman took him in, had him in the cell for 2 hours before the policeman came back and said, "You're free to go." And the man said, "I'm not only free to go, I'm going to follow up on this. You are in big trouble, mister, because you arrested me and I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was holler and scream in my car. You can't arrest me for that." And the policeman said, "Sir, I didn't arrest you for that. I arrested you when I looked up behind you and I saw you raging off on that woman. I said, what a jerk. Too bad I can't do anything. But then I said, I saw the cross on your mirror hanging down. And I looked at your license plate, and the license plate said, preserve life. And then I looked around, and there was another sign that said, praise the Lord. And so I concluded you had stolen that car, because a Christian wouldn't act like that." Do you know that Christians do act like that? We go into rages sometimes, and we don't know why. So what a confusing situation. That man may have been a Christian, but he lost his temper. And when we lose our temper, the Bible says man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But a lot of times in our anger, we do what? We do sin. Our anger is the old flesh coming out very often. And if we're not careful, we're going to do things that we ought not to do, and we're going to say things we ought not to say. In Romans 7:14 again, he says, we know that the law is spiritual. As a Christian, the law is spiritual. The law is true, and the law is right. But I am unspiritual. And think about this. This is the Apostle Paul. If anybody's spiritual, we got to say, man, it's got to be him. He wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books. He had a lot going for him. But he said even he would lose it sometimes. I'm sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. Paul's expression of confusion, I felt it many times in my life. I didn't set out to do that. I really wanted to live for the Lord. I don't know why I did what I did. It's an amazing thing, and every child knows it right away. A child to do something totally stupid that they know they're not supposed to do. And you'll ask them, why in the world did you do that? What do they say? I don't know why I did that. Folks, that's what Paul's saying. That's just as true for a man that's walked with the Lord 50 years as it is for a little child that hasn't even met the Lord yet. Sometimes we do and say things and we don't know why we did it. The reason why we did it is because sin dwells in us. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, sin's coming out. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care how hard you try to live right. It's going to come out. So the Apostle Paul is saying that's true for all of us. There are times in our lives when we say and do things we didn't plan to say or do. In fact, we didn't even want to do it. We hate doing that, but we do it. And we got to get used to this because it's a spiritual warfare, and you're in it. As long as you dwell in this fleshly body, you still have a sin nature. Yes, in Christ, you've got a spiritual nature too, and we praise the Lord for that. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, and as much as I wish I could tell you that I always walk in the Spirit, it's simply not true. I don't know anybody that walks in the Spirit all the time. And when you're not walking in the Spirit, guess what you're walking in? You're walking in the flesh. You're walking in the sinful nature. So the Apostle Paul says, I was in exactly the same situation. So here's the problem that we all face. We want to blame it on the devil, but the Bible says you can't. We'd like to blame it on God, but the Bible says you can't. If you look at James chapter 1, verse 12, it'll tell you exactly who you ought to blame it on. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. But when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by what? Their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Where does those desires come from? They come from our own sinful flesh. Yes, the devil will entice you to sin, but the devil can't make you sin. If you're walking in the Spirit, I've been on both sides of this myself, and when I'm walking in the Spirit, Satan can tempt me with almost anything, and it doesn't bother me a bit. But man, when I'm walking the flesh, it doesn't take hardly anything. And I'm over the edge. And I wonder, how in the world did I get here? Well, I'm walking in the flesh again. And that's what Paul's trying to warn us about. Here's Paul's confession again, Romans 7:15. I do not understand what I do. But what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. We all can relate to that. Because we are in the midst of a frustrating battle. And the battle rages inside of every single believer in Christ. If you're in the world, you don't have that battle because all you got's the flesh. You can just relax and enjoy your sinful nature and it's no problem at all. But if you're in the Spirit, it's a different thing. So it's a frustrating battle that we all fight. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. I just want to encourage you, when you get knocked down, and you will, you don't lose the battle if you don't stay down. Get up and confess and get back into the battle. Paul said again in Romans 7:18, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. And that sinful nature is not going to go away as long as we're in these fleshly bodies. We got to get an understanding here. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it. But it's sin living in me that does it. So if I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Folks, we have to understand the battle. Because if you don't understand the enemy, and the enemy is right inside of you, it's going to control you. You've got to understand the battle. We've got to stop acting like we're perfect. I can't tell you how many people tell me, Pastor Jerry, you mean you sin too? Absolutely. I'm human, just like everybody else. A lot of people think pastors never sin. Pastors, deacon, elder, ladies, it doesn't matter. We're all made of the same stuff. We all fall short. And because we're not perfect, we need to stop acting like we are. When a pastor or a deacon or any other person acts like they're perfect, it just upsets other people because they know they're not. How come I can't be like Sam? Well, it's because Sam's hiding it. It isn't that Sam doesn't do it. Remember Jesus' words in Luke 5:32? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, there's only one kind of person that we won't allow in this church, and that would be a perfect person. Why wouldn't we allow a perfect person in here? Because there are none. Jesus came to save sinners. Everybody in this room qualifies. I sure qualify. And the reason he came to do that is because there were no perfect people in his day other than himself, and there are no perfect people today. We qualify as sinners. In Galatians 5:16, we have a wonderful promise. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And we all say, praise the Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit then. The problem we have is that nobody walks in the Spirit all the time. If we did, we could reach sinless perfection. And there are people that have claimed to reach sinless perfection, but I don't know any personally that I can say are perfect. I worked with a man on the assembly line 40 years ago, and he said that for 15 years he had not sinned. And so I just thought, I wonder if I could catch him in this. I said, do you ever go over the speed limit? And he said, yeah, but never on purpose. And I said, well, you tell that to the policeman when he gives you that ticket. See if he says it's okay because you didn't do it on purpose. You see, all of us are in exactly the same boat, and the Apostle Paul was too. Romans 7:18 again. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. And none of the rest of us can either on our own. We can't do it. And so we have to come to that realization, unless I'm walking in the Spirit of Christ, the flesh is going to come out. And it's going to come out at the worst possible time in the worst possible ways. And I'm going to find myself doing things I don't want to do. But the flesh does. In Romans 7:21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Our problem is we don't want to admit that evil's inside of us. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's being controlled because most of the time, for most Christians, we do try to walk in the Spirit. And so we can control it as long as we're in the Spirit, and we think, okay, my old nature's gone then. No, it's not. As soon as you stop walking in the Lord, and it can happen that quick. I remember going to work, praying on my way into work, Lord, I really want to glorify you. I just want to do what you want me to do. And then I'd get to work and my machine would just go crazy and do all kinds of things that I hadn't planned on that day. And I would go berserk. What's wrong? The flesh is still there. Although with my mind, I want to serve Christ, my flesh wants what the flesh wants. And that is not going to change. He says, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. You see, when we hit that, and we're all going to hit it, we have to confess. We can't just say, the devil made me do it. It's a choice you and I make, to either walk in the Spirit or to let the flesh take control. And when the flesh takes control, we need to acknowledge it, confess it, and get away from it. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, we have one of the greatest promises found in the Bible. He says, and do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us upon whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, I want to talk about that just for a second before I finish that verse. If he will not let you be tempted above what you can bear, what does that mean about Satan's power? He can only do what God allows him to do. God's always going to have a stop sign where Satan cannot go beyond. And so we can't say, the devil made me do it. The world is only going to be allowed to affect you as you open yourself up to the world. The Lord has a guard that the world can't tempt you beyond what you're able, and neither can Satan. And so when we fall, what's the problem? The problem is I'm walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. I've got to take responsibility. Nobody made me do it. It's not my wife's fault. It's not her husband's fault. It's not the kid's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's me. I'm walking in the flesh. If you don't get to that point, guess what? There's no forgiveness. God can't forgive you for what your mother or father or somebody else did. God will only forgive you when you take responsibility and say, "It's me, O Lord. Here I am again in the same pickle. Been here before. Would you forgive me?" Let me read the rest of that. "But when you are tempted, and you will be, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it." What's the way out? Because that's an important question, isn't it? What's the way out? Constant prayer and faith. You must believe what God has said. And if we don't believe it, when the flesh wells up, we're just going to run with the flesh. Faith is the victory. But we don't walk in faith when the flesh is in charge. I love the story told about Charles Spurgeon. Now, Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher years ago. And he was a speaker in a conference with another preacher that preached that he had reached the point of holiness. Now, a couple churches years ago used to preach this quite a lot. The Free Methodist and the Nazarenes preached that a person could come to the point where they no longer sin at all. It's holiness. Okay, you're sanctified, totally sanctified. Well, Charles Spurgeon got up and preached after that man, and he didn't say a word about it. He just preached what he was going to preach. But the next morning, Charles Spurgeon came down for breakfast. The man was ahead of him in the line, and the man was an immaculate dresser. I mean, he really dressed up. He looked the part. Charles Spurgeon waited until the man was leaning over to get something out of the cabinet, and Charles Spurgeon took a pitcher of milk and poured it over his head. Guess what came out? The flesh. He was not sanctified. He swore, he got angry, he wanted to fight. Folks, when you think you've got it, the Bible says be careful, because when you really think you've reached sanctification, Satan's got a heyday. Your flesh is going to rise up. It's going to destroy you. We find a promise, and it's right at the end of our section we're reading. This is the only way to have victory over your flesh. It's not trying harder. It's not you doing anything. It's found in Romans 7:24. Paul starts out and says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" Paul knows he can't do it. He says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I and myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." In that passage, you've got 98% what's wrong with me, and you got 2%. Where can I look for an answer to this? It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. The Lord will live his life in you and through you, but you have to keep submitting to him. You can't let the flesh run your life. Paul goes on to say, "Who is going to rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And then he points to a person. And that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would keep trusting him and keep obeying him, he would put our flesh at bay. But again, I don't know anybody, including myself, that does that all the time. Hopefully, we're getting to the point where we're relying on the Lord more and more and less on ourselves. But I don't know anybody that's got it 100% right. And so the battle goes on. There are three things you can do with your sin, and you get to choose what you're going to do. Number one, you can deny that your sin is sin. "Well, when I blew up at my wife, boy, she had it coming. Let me tell you what she said." Folks, It doesn't matter what your wife or your husband or your boss at work or the worker that works for you does. We are to say the truth in love. Not in bitterness, not in anger, not in wrath. But we all do from time to time, don't we? Every single person I know does. We just let her loose. So number one, you can say it's not sin. Number two, you can try to deal with it on your own. Most of us have found out after a while, we know that doesn't work. I can't stop. I can't change it. My flesh is too strong for me. But number three, we can admit it and turn to our Lord for his help. And he will give us victory over our sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection because nobody that I know is there. But we can do better and better and better at walking in the Spirit. In 1 John 1:8, we find another one of those precious promises. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So at the very end of the passage, we find the answer. Romans 7:24 again. We confess, and we have to keep doing this. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me. The only way to deliver yourself from the flesh is to turn to Jesus Christ. Let him live his life through you. You can't live a godly life on your own. Your flesh is far too strong for you. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to sin. The formula for victory in the Christian life is not a formula at all. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just not only to forgive us our sins, but he'll cleanse it out of our lives. We need to do that. We need to do that on a regular basis because we all fall short. Most of us know when Romans 7 is done, we go right into Romans 8, one of the greatest promises again in the scriptures, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free from the law of sin and death. We are free from the law of sin and death today because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is indeed the victory. So our struggle with sin is meant to drive us to Jesus Christ, because hopefully you've realized you can't do this on your own. Neither can I. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be a conqueror in this life. I don't expect to win every battle. I expect I'm going to get knocked down from time to time. But I want to get up, and I want to live for Christ. And that's exactly what the Lord promises he will do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're not more than conquerors because we're solid Christian people and we're just really good strugglers. No. All the struggle in the world won't get this done. It's a constant turning to Christ. The next time you fall, and you will I, we need to confess it as sin. We need to repent of that sin and ask the Lord to live his life through us. You'll get the victory more than the defeats if you do that. But if you think on your own you can make it, you're going to be defeated every time. You're going to continue walking in the flesh more and more and more. Jesus Christ this way gets all the glory. And we give it all to him. I'm more than willing to give him the glory. because it's the only way to continue walking in the Spirit.